The snake hissed and then began to thrash. Voss started to interrupt, but Ventress lifted her left hand to stop him.
When Kai Narek was killed, I allowed my hatred to take over.
At the words, the snake's struggle intensified. Ventress drank in its panic, closing her free hand on empty air as the force throttled the animal for her.
Hatred gave me access to abilities the Jedi think are too unnatural. But the Sith know that the path to hatred is the path to ultimate power.
The snake went limp. She let it fall from her hand to the ground, dead. Voss stared at it for a long moment. Then, not taking his eyes from the creature, he began to speak.
I understand your feelings. I also lost my master. He was killed early on in the war. It was hard to suppress my emotions, the rage I felt at his passing. And I understand your guilt, too.
He paused for a moment, pressing his lips together, as if not wanting to speak the words.
I was supposed to be his partner that day, but instead the Council sent me on a separate mission.
His eyes darkened, and his body tensed as he spoke.
I always felt that if I had been there, I could have saved Master Tholme.
Still savoring the snake's torment, Ventress noted the hatred building in Voss.
I remember that battle,
she said, sending him encouragement to dive still deeper into his emotions. His head whipped up, and he stared at her.
You were there?
Too late, Ventress realized her misstep. Fear, usually a stranger, suddenly welled in her heart. If Voss knew, he would...
No, she could fix this. She could use Voss's feelings for her to do so.
No, she lied smoothly.
Dooku bragged about it to me. It was he who killed your master. He even kept Tholme's lightsaber as a trophy.
Voss winced. His faith in her words did not waver, and Ventress felt a surge of relief at the fresh spurt of anger she felt from him.
I never knew, he said. The Council never saw fit to tell me.
Ventress realized that she had cemented his trust in her, given him a personal vendetta against Dooku, and sparked resentment toward the Council, all with a few well-chosen words. Such was the treacherous power of the dark side. She lowered her voice till it was a husky purr.
Let that anger guide you,
she said.
Your feelings for the loss of your master.
When Voss spoke, staring straight ahead, his voice was unsteady.
I was trained to not use those emotions.
Because you were a Jedi,
Ventress said. He winced at the inflection of her words.
But I am still.
Ventress stepped in front of him, their gazes locked. Voss was trembling. To her astonishment, Ventress realized she was too. But with what emotion, she could not tell. She stroked his cheek with unsteady fingers, strangely hypersensitive to the rough scrape of stubble. And he closed his eyes and leaned into her hand. His warm, quick breath fanned her wrist.
There are other emotions the Jedi taught you not to use,
she whispered.
Do you deny them as well?
Voss opened his eyes, rich and warm and brown. He stared at her for a long moment. Then, with a sound of both desire and anguish, as if something had broken within him, he pulled her into his arms and kissed her.
Chapter 14.
Voss's head and heart were awhirl with emotions as the days unfolded. Ventress was opening him to a new level of being, a plane of intensity, depth, and sharp sensation. She had awakened in him a hunger he had never suspected, though he now realized that other Jedi had known it. Voss had grown used to being called unorthodox and maverick for the simple delight he took in his Force abilities. No wonder the Jedi Order had preached against detachment or exploring the depths of one's feelings. For who, having once tasted what Voss now shared with Asajj Ventress, would turn away from it? He reveled in their passion, cherished the sweetness of simply being able to reach out and stroke her cheek, and knowing she savored the gesture. He realized the emotions to which he was joyously giving full rein had been dormant within him for a long time, perhaps as soon as he had met her on that exciting, frustrating, fun chase for the Vulpi. Certainly since she had tended his wounds after they had rescued the Krim family. Now and then, when he held her in his arms, he believed she shared them too. When it came to training to face Dooku, Ventress informed him that she would train him as a Night Sister would be trained.
"I had conversations with Karras and Narleth. They told me of what they underwent. Night Sisters know the dark side better than anyone. We grow up steeped in it, but we can use it as a tool and stay ourselves, unlike the Sith. That balance is what you must learn."
They established an area as a camp, respectfully gathering the remains of Ventress's fallen sisters and burying them with care. They went on climbs to build Voss's strength and agility, hunting trips to get him comfortable with killing for food, and long runs to build his endurance. It was on one such run that Voss was permitted a brief glimpse of Ventress's home. He had seen the large red mountain in the distance, but Ventress had been taking him on runs in the opposite direction. One morning, though, they ran toward it. The mountain's peak loomed larger as they approached, but huge trees concealed the base until they were almost upon it. Here, the damage to the forest was even greater than where Ventress had set the Banshee down. Voss could feel the temperature drop, and faint echoes of the pain the Night Sisters had suffered brushed his thoughts. Ventress had been in the lead, but now she slowed. Taking his hand, she led him through the trees and to a clearing. Voss stared in astonishment. It was not simply a mountain. It was a fortress, hewn out of one. Massive statues of women had been carved into the mountain's face, their arms extending upward, appearing to be supporting the weight of the entire vast edifice on the palms of their hands. There had to be row upon row of them, vanishing into the darkness of the artificial cavern's shadows. Some of the statuary lay broken on the ground, mute evidence of the attack that had claimed Ventress's clan. Not a few skeletons still lay here, but they were not alone. Parts of droids were scattered about as well. The statues were exquisite creations, but it was the enormous carving on the side of the mountain fortress that took Voss's breath away. It was the stylized face of a woman, her mouth open to the heart of the great stone structure? Natural formation? The carving was in such harmony with the land that it was hard to tell where nature ended and artistry began.
"What?"
His voice was rough with wonder. He cleared his throat.
"What's inside?"
Ventress stood, staring quietly.
"My village," she said.
Her eyes were dry, but her pain was all but palpable. Voss squeezed her hand reassuringly, but she shook her head.
"No,"
she said.
"No sympathy. Only the knowledge that Dooku destroyed everything that was precious to me. You are not ready yet to go inside, but when you do..."
She looked up at him with eyes gone cold and hard.
"You had better make sure you come out."
Ventress was quiet on the run back, and distant from him the rest of the day. Voss wasn't surprised. She'd made certain they had not come to the fortress before now for her own reasons. Surely one of which was that it would inflict fresh pain upon her. Voss had known some of the basics of Ventress's history, the parts that the Jedi cared about knowing, at least. But there was so much more to this astonishing woman than her life as first Dooku's apprentice and later his most passionate enemy. In her unguarded moments, he could see glimpses of the innocent child she had once been. And in those moments of trust, Voss fell deeper into whatever this feeling truly was. When they returned to their encampment near the Banshee, she told him she would go alone to hunt their dinner. He spent the time waiting for her, cleaning and checking their weaponry, and had a fire going when she returned carrying two medium-sized Vikas. A few moments later, the red-plumed birds were plucked and spitted, and an appetizing scent filled the night air. Ventress's distant mood was still upon her as they finished and cleaned up. They leaned against a fallen, blackened tree trunk, close but not touching. Voss waited patiently, and at last Ventress spoke.
"Do you remember our first day here?"
Ventress asked, turning to look at him. The firelight was reflected in her eyes.
"I'll never forget it."
Voss reached to touch her cheek gently. Ventress caught his hand and brought it down, firmly but not ungently.
"I was referring to the snake."
Voss released her hand and nodded. He would never forget that, either. The sight of Ventress summoning the snake to her, and then force-choking it as it whipped and writhed in an invisible grip. He also remembered speaking of his master's death, and Ventress's revelation that Dooku had been the one to murder Tholm. He felt the anger gather in the pit of his stomach, a knot that was both icy and scalding. Ventress sensed it and nodded her approval.
"Good, Voss. You can now touch the dark side at will. But it's one thing to feel those emotions, rage, hate, anguish, and quite another to use them. You must let go of your compassion and focus on your hatred."
"And use them on a living creature."
"Precisely."
Ventress extended a hand and made a beckoning motion. Voss saw the glitter of firelight on two small, cold eyes, and then the reptile Ventress had summoned slithered into view. It coiled in on itself, its eyes fixed on the Jedi. Voss regarded it sadly. While he had fully and eagerly embraced the emotions that surged through him for Ventress, willingly drowning in the sensations of passion and deep connection, this was something different. Even had he not been a Jedi, Voss knew he would have recoiled from senseless killing. And this was as senseless as it got, it seemed to him. Killing an animal, a being that was inherently part of the Force and utterly innocent of good or evil, who at the moment had posed no threat at all, simply to go farther down a dark path. But this was the job he had been sent to do, was it not? This had never been about capturing Count Dooku or facing him in a fair fight. This mission had, from the outset, been all about assassination. He understood that millions of innocents would survive who would otherwise die if this abominable war continued much longer. Innocents like Tezka, Vram, and Lolly.
"For the greater good," he thought,
and lifted a hand. Sensing Voss's intent, the snake reacted immediately.
It reared and hissed, exposing sharp fangs.
Ventress's voice, strong and soothing, floated to his ears through his concentration.
"No, gently. You wanted to come to you willingly."
That was worse than a simple attack. But Voss nodded, shifting his energy and his focus. The serpent responded, closing its mouth. Its tongue still flickered, smelling him, but it was curious, not hostile.
"Good,"
Ventress said,
Now draw him in. Lower his guard.
Boss's hands moved in a flowing motion. In his mind, he saw the snake willingly approach. And a heartbeat later, the creature moved over rock and soil, its powerful muscles squeezing and releasing as it propelled itself toward Voss. Ventress's voice was almost more felt than heard when she spoke again.
Feel the dark side. It gives you power. You are in command, in control. You can bend things to your will.
She was right. From time to time, Voss had used the Force to make suggestions to those whose minds weren't strong enough to resist. His interaction with the serpent reminded Voss of those times, except increased by a thousandfold. The snake was not merely biddable, it was enthralled. Voss shivered as Ventress's lips brushed his ear.
Now, use that power. Kill it!
Kill it. Kill Dooku. It was what he had been sent to do. What he must do. Voss took a deep breath, trying to drop deeper into his connection with the enraptured snake. He closed his fingers slowly, visualizing the snake in his hand, his forefinger and thumb in a circle beneath the creature's head, throttling. Ah! Searing pain shot through him as the snake bit deep. Voss jerked his hand back, and the snake, its will once again its own, slithered away with astonishing rapidity. He clutched the wrist of his bitten left hand with his right one, looking up at Ventress. Her face was harder than he had seen it in weeks. Her beautiful eyes once more as cold as ice chips.
You are not yet ready to face Dooku. But you will be.
It was not the response he had expected. He looked down at his hand, which was beginning to swell.
Poisonous?
Voss managed through gritted teeth. He knew the answer even as he spoke. The pain was increasing, and he felt as if he plunged his hand into boiling water. At the same time, he shivered. Voss realized he was going into shock.
The venom isn't lethal. But it has its uses.
Dizziness and nausea swept over Voss, and before he knew what had happened, he had dropped to his knees.
It has its uses. What did she mean by that? Wasn't she going to treat it?
Impossibly. The pain increased. He looked up at her. Her form was shifting, blurring, and her voice sounded hollow and distorted.
The pain will let you access your rage. Accept it as punishment for your failure.
As if her words had been instructions to the venom. Torment, exquisite in its intensity, spread through his body. It was as if his heart pumped liquid fire, not blood, and Voss could no longer bite back a howl of agony. He fell to the ground, its hard surface unforgiving, the rocks jutting into his skin, releasing fresh waves of pain so sharp he couldn't believe he was still conscious. He writhed, screaming, and Ventress stared down at him, her face a shifting mask of implacable aloofness. And that was a pain far worse than the venom.
Chapter 15.
Voss dreamed the dreams of the tortured. Nightmare after nightmare crested over him. Visions of shadows and slaughter and pain, both caused and received. Through them all danced Asajj Ventress. On her beautiful face, every expression he had beheld there, and some he had not. But the last dream was not of pain, but of ecstasy. Of the tender brush of her fingers on his face, of her whispered words. The touch became cooler, still smooth but textured. Voss opened his eyes to discover a serpent twining about his body, its triangular head slithering beneath his chin.
He yelped and sprang back, adrenaline surging through him.
The snake, disinterested, slithered away, and Voss forced his breath to slow. The scalding agony was gone. In its place was sluggishness, as if he were swimming through mud. Mist hung low on the ground, obscuring his vision. Or was it the lingering effects of the snake's bite? No, he could feel moist air clinging damply to his skin. He became aware of a slight rustling behind him. Turning, he was greeted by the sight of yet another snake. This one was as thick as his arm and 3 meters long. He got to his feet and stumbled away from it, moving far too slowly and with too much exertion. The snake was also averse to confrontation and slithered off in search of its breakfast.
Time to test your Jedi training, my sweet.
Voss realized his lightsaber had been placed within easy reach. He had, of course, hidden it from Ventress during their early days together, but once on Dathomir, there had been no reason not to make use of it during their hunts. He was certain, though, that he had not had it on him last night. Now he picked it up with clumsy fingers. Ventress's voice seemed to come from everywhere. Voss's thinking was still torpid, and he looked around, trying to spot her, wondering what new lesson she had in store. He heard the snap hiss of a lightsaber and awkwardly activated his own as she leapt on him from above. Thanks to the lingering effects of the venom and simple disbelief, Voss registered that she was deadly serious, barely in time to step back and parry her strike. Ventress sprang adroitly over his head, and Voss turned, again nearly moving too slowly to prevent her from slicing him in half. Their blades clashed and sizzled, and she moved forward, her face mere centimeters from his. A cruel smile curved her full lips.
"Very good, Voss," she said almost mockingly. "At least you know how to fight back."
She executed a backward flip, landing in a crouch atop a large boulder.
"But can you finish the job?"
And with a quick leap, Ventress vanished into the fog. What was she talking about? They were partners. More than partners. Voss knew Ventress cared for him. He could feel it in her touch, sense it in the Force. As for what he felt, Her laughter, cold and cruel, chilled Voss more than the increasingly thick mist. He stepped forward, moving toward where he had last seen her, reaching out in the Force to try to locate her. His head was starting to clear, and irritation replaced confusion. Whatever she was doing, it wasn't necessary, and it was starting to make him angry. They were wasting time in a foolish... A second time, the hum of her lightsaber alerted Voss to Ventress's presence, and he again whirled to parry her attack from behind. Her beautiful face was contorted in a snarl, and she came at him full force. Ventress rained blows upon him, not holding back, pushing in for the kill. Unwilling to harm her, Voss took one step back, then another, concentrating on blocking her attack. The damp air muffled the sizzle of lightsabers clashing in deadly earnest. Still, Ventress pressed the attack. Something inside Voss snapped. A furious cry escaped his lips, and he moved onto the offensive. This time, it was she who was forced to give ground as he advanced on her, swinging his lightsaber so swiftly it was little more than a green blur. As she drew back to strike again, his hand shot forward and closed on her throat, his fingers digging into warm flesh, lifting her easily into the air and hurling her to the ground. Ventress hit hard, sprawling with an utter lack of her usual controlled grace. She coughed, one hand massaging her throat. Voss found himself standing over her, lightsaber raised for the next blow. But instead, a smile touched her lips.
"You see?"
she said, her voice rough, the faint shadows of a bruise already starting to form on her pale throat.
"Your anger has made you powerful."
He lowered the lightsaber and switched it off. The red rage that had colored his thoughts was fading. So it really had been a test, and nothing more.
Boss frowned. He did not like being toyed with. But before he could say anything, Ventress had leapt to her feet and was again racing into the mist. What now? His lips pressed together in a tight line, and he pursued. This game had gone far enough. And a game it was. Over and over again, Ventress allowed him to glimpse her just long enough to keep her in sight. They leapt over fallen tree trunks, ducked beneath chunks of stone. Voss realized that Ventress's path was taking them to the mountain fortress. He recalled what she had said to him the first time they had beheld it together.
You are not ready to go inside, but when you do, you had better make sure you come out.
He was ready. He knew it. He could take anything Ventress could throw at him. Ventress raced into the open now, her slender, long legs bearing her easily across the stone to the gaping mouth of the cavern. She vanished into darkness. Voss ran behind her, slowing as he felt the cool fingers of a shadow caress him. He held his lightsaber before him and moved cautiously, reaching out into the force to try to sense her. Voss walked between the statuary pillars and emerged into an interior space of both darkness and beauty. When Ventress had said village, Voss had expected something small and primitive. But this cavern was gargantuan, and what it housed was vast and compelling in its scope and strange loveliness. Most of the illumination came from pools of water that glowed a soft, mesmeric shade of blue. Here and there, thin streams of water poured from above, their source so high as to be shrouded in darkness. The dim lighting revealed that, as with the exterior, those who had constructed this place had worked in tandem with nature. Here, in the village of Ventress's sisters, was no forced architecture. Nothing, at least at this first glance, that looked like it had ever been created in a factory. Towering stalagmites jutted from the cerulean pools, their peaks so high that they vanished into the darkness above. Into these natural formations had been carved doors, windows, stairways, and overlooks at several levels. Specks of what looked to be phosphorescent stone augmented the azure light. No doubt, once, there had been torches as well. Voss stepped forward into a wide open area of flat stone. Here and there he saw remnants of ordinary life. Overturned pitchers and vases, braziers, bowls. It would have been one of the most beautiful places Voss had ever beheld, if it had not been so steeped in the dark side. It was strong here, controlled, directed. At the far side of the open area, he saw an altar, and wondered what sorts of horrors it had borne witness to. Perhaps once, this had been no more than a cavern, a neutral place, eventually permeated by the energy left over from centuries of dark work. Or perhaps it had always dwelled on the edge of darkness. It didn't matter. All Voss understood was that Ventress knew the twists and turns of her village intimately. He was a stranger, and she was hunting him. He sensed her presence, but the location was muddied, difficult to pinpoint. Moving silently, Voss made his way to a smaller stalagmite and sprang out from behind it with a grunt, his lightsaber swinging. But Ventress wasn't there. She was behind him, screaming as she swung her glowing yellow blade. Voss was forced to dodge. Swift as a thought, Ventress raced past and whirled to face him.
You are strong, she said, and to his surprise, she stepped back and extinguished her lightsaber.
Uncertain as to her intent, Voss hesitated.
Don't worry, Quinlan. This part of the test is over.
He nodded and switched off his own lightsaber. I can't say I'm sorry.
What now?
Ventress turned and looked out over the blue pools.
A major component of Night Sister magics is a fluid that we call the Water of Life, she said.
From the lakes?
Voss guessed.
Not exactly. The water of life is harvested.
Voss's dark brows knit.
I'm not following you.
The depths of these pools have never been plumbed. All we know is that they are very deep indeed, and they are home to many creatures. There is one that the Night Sisters called the Sleeper. To fully be accepted as an adult, a young woman of my clan underwent a rite of passage. Using her force abilities, she would awaken the Sleeper, dominate it, and force it to remove a piece of its body.
A trophy?
Voss was repelled.
No, an ingredient. That piece of the Sleeper is boiled with water from the pool and other items to create the water of life. I was told the Sleeper was very strong-willed. To lose control over it, even for a moment, would mean the initiate's death.
Voss gazed out on the luminous water.
How often was the rite successful?
I never asked.
What's the catch? Simply controlling an animal, even a strong-willed one, is fairly easy for a Jedi.
It would be, if this creature were just an animal. And if you only needed to use the light side of the Force,
Ventress said.
Quinlan, it's the Sleeper, not a Sleeper. It's ancient. The stories about it go back to the earliest days of my clan. You can sense how strong the dark side is here. Everything, even the wildlife, has been touched by it in some way. The Sleeper can only be awakened and controlled if someone thoroughly subjugates it with dark side power.
I see,
Voss said. He looked back over the water.
Well, let's get on with it.
She placed a hand on his arm.
Not yet. I know little enough about the Sleeper, but I will share with you what I do know.
Ventress smiled a little.
Now you know why I wanted you to build up your endurance. Your next exercise will require swimming and holding your breath.
Chapter 16.
I do have an aquatic breather, but I'd recommend training both with and without it,
she told him as they ate that night.
The pools in the cavern are opaque, so your vision will be limited. You might also want a pair of goggles that will let you see beyond the visible spectrum.
Voss thought about it as he carved off a chunk of a small lizard turning on the spit, then shook his head.
No, that doesn't feel right. The whole point of this test, as I understand it, is for me to dominate it with my ability in the Force, not with technology.
Your ability wielding the dark side of the Force,
Ventress reminded him. He nodded and bit into the chunk of mild-tasting flesh.
So what else can you tell me?
Ventress looked frustrated.
Less than I'd like. I know it's large, terrifying to look at, and physically powerful. And as I've said, its will is impressive.
You mentioned swimming and holding my breath, Voss said. I take it I'll be fighting it underwater?
Ideally, no,
Ventress replied.
The Sleeper can be lured onto land, and of course you'd have the advantage there, but you need to be prepared for anything.
So, what does this thing look like?
Voss asked. He forced himself to eat more than usual. He would shortly be burning thousands of calories a day in training.
It varies from person to person,
she said.
Karis claimed it was the same hue as the water. Luce said it was pure white. Talia told me the Sleeper had enormous eyes and pincers. Naleth said no, it had tentacles. The one thing everyone agrees on is that they were terrified. It seems if you don't control it quickly and get dragged into the water, presumably by pincers or tentacles, you risk coming into contact with the substance you're trying to harvest. That can cause hallucinations.
She looked down.
Talia watched her twin simply freeze. She was paralyzed with fear. The sleeper dragged her down with it.
Hey, Voss said, reaching out to squeeze her shoulder. I have a lot of respect for the Night Sisters and their force abilities. But I'm not a youngling. I'm an adult with the skills and training of a Jedi Master. And, he added, hoping to lighten her mood, I've got the best coach in the universe, who has a vested interest in seeing I survive.
Ventress looked at him, her eyes searching his. She reached to touch his face, her fingers stroking his lips. He shivered and bit down gently. Chuckling softly, she pulled her hand away and tapped him on the nose.
Don't forget that, idiot.
Never, he said, and kissed her.
Dathomir was not without its oceans, and Voss soon grew intimately familiar with them. They began with simple submersion. Voss's Jedi training gave him excellent control over both his mind and his body, which would be the key to his success. If he stayed calm throughout, his heart rate would remain slow, and his body would not burn more oxygen than was absolutely necessary. Well aware that if he didn't establish and keep control over the sleeper at the outset, he would certainly be involved in combat, he practiced fighting creatures underwater as well.
Your training is coming along well,
Ventress said one evening, as they ate stew prepared with a burra fish Voss had killed that day.
I'm glad you think so, he said.
He hesitated, then asked, What about after? She eyed him as she helped herself to more stew.
What about after?
When we've killed Dooku.
Ventress looked back to the pot of stew bubbling cheerfully on the fire. She lowered her head so he couldn't see her face in the flickering light. She had no desire to think about what would happen afterward. This time together was precious and forbidden. The Jedi would never accept one of their own with a companion, let alone one who was a former Sith. When Dooku died, so would their connection. Voss would leave her, and she would be alone. Again. But she understood that. Ventress knew how to be alone, and she had always known that even this brief time with Voss was a gift. She kept her tone conversational.
It will be hard for you to go back to the Jedi, but it's possible. Asajj.
She stilled. Voss took her bowl, set it aside, and gathered her hands in his. He looked at her strong fingers, her calloused, scarred palms, then pressed his lips to each one in turn.
I don't want to go back, he stated.
Ventress closed her eyes, scarcely daring to believe the words.
I want to be with you.
Now she did risk a look at him. His face shone with intensity, his warm eyes catching the firelight above the yellow stripe that adorned his features.
I can't walk away from this, and I don't want to.
Do you? For a moment, Ventress couldn't speak.
No,
she managed.
I don't want to either. But Quinlan, be sure. It's all you've ever known.
I know you now,
Voss replied, squeezing her hands for emphasis.
And if being Jedi means I can't be with you,
I also know what I choose.
He released her hands and unbuckled his bracer, placing it on the ground. She watched, a brow arched in confusion. He found a rock, tossed it in the air, and caught it. Voss looked at her solemnly.
It starts now.
And he brought the stone smashing down on the holocom button, severing contact with the Jedi for now and
forever? Could he really do so?
Ventress stared at the broken piece of equipment, then lifted her gaze to his. Voss smiled at her, fully, freely. No shadow of regret lay upon him, only a calm certainty. An emotion surged through Ventress that was so alien she almost didn't recognize it as joy.
the name of another feeling, richer and deeper, hovered unspoken between them, danced on her lips, perhaps on his as well. They had a bond, real and vibrant and strong, that seemed to her to be unbreakable.
"Together," he said,
emotion making his voice husky. Ventress didn't trust herself to speak. She showed him instead, pulling him toward her and kissing him passionately. Voss responded at once, returning the kiss with a fierceness that heightened her desire. Every sense was alert, expectant, and every touch had the intensity of something more than physical. He got to his feet, taking her with him, kissed her hard, and then swung her up in his arms and strode toward the ship. A small blinking red light appeared in the darkness. Ventress closed her eyes and growled. Voss laughed ruefully, his warm breath stirring her hair as he kissed the top of her head and set her down.
"You should get that.
The timing could have been better,"
Ventress said, and pulled out her holocom. A small figure appeared, squat and wrinkled. It jabbered excitedly. Ventress felt a lurch in her gut.
So soon?
Her gaze flickered to Voss, who raised an eyebrow in curiosity. Apparently, Gossim was not a language he understood.
"I see,"
Ventress said to the holographic image.
"You have done well, Sumdin. And the location of this gathering?"
Sumdin lifted a graceless three-fingered hand and operated something Ventress couldn't see. In the Gossim's place now swirled the hologram of a pleasant-looking green and blue planet.
And then Voss understood.
"You found Dooku!"
Ventress gazed at the tiny world for a moment longer, then deactivated the holocom.
"He'll be on Raxus. I know the day and time."
Voss grimaced slightly.
"His home turf."
Raxus was the capital of the Confederacy of Independent Systems.
Security was bound to be excessive.
"But if you found him, we've got to go."
Ventress didn't reply, his brow knit in confusion.
"Well?"
"Quinlan, I'm concerned that you're not ready. You've barely begun to explore the dark side, let alone master the ability to walk the knife's edge. You've not called the sleeper, and if you can't do that, if we leave now, you could be in jeopardy."
He gave her a lopsided smile.
"More than I am already."
"More than you can possibly realize."
"I understand your concern, but we can't afford to miss this opportunity."
Ventress didn't reply at once. She had expected to have more time. More time for Voss to train, to master the mercurial and untrustworthy nature of the dark side. More time for them to be together before they faced an unspeakably dangerous foe. And more time for her to gather her courage and tell him the truth about his master.
But she couldn't. Not at this juncture. She would tell him afterward, when they had slain Dooku and truly left their pasts behind. When they were together, and things were calmer. Even if he did understand and forgive her, it would be a shock to him, at least at first. To succeed in their mission, she needed Quinlan Voss at his best and most focused.
And the personalized hatred she had falsely instilled in him toward the Count could only help. Also, he was right. There was no telling when they would get a second chance. The Count was slippery as a Mon Calamari eel. He placed his hands on her shoulders and gazed down at her.
"Massage, I admit it. The dark side has made me powerful. You've opened my eyes to so many things, but it hasn't hurt me. All it's done is make me believe we can succeed."
Ventress smiled sadly.
"That's the danger."
He sighed.
"Let me prove it to you. I know I'm ready to call the sleeper and defeat it."
Ventress did not share his confidence. It wasn't his ability to use the Force that was in question. It was his ability to use only the dark side of it. Voss was a good man, She was worried that even now, he might still be too good. She closed her eyes and took a breath.
All right, she said. Let's go.
Chapter 17.
The two were silent as they made their way to the caverns. Voss felt the caress of the dark side as they entered the open area, and his thoughts were myriad and chaotic. Ventress paused as they approached the blue water of one of the cavern lakes.
What is it?
Voss asked. They stood near an artificial pool that had been created on the open, flat-stoned area near the altar. Its water was neither clear nor blue, but a rich, inky black. Ventress pressed her lips together.
This was where I truly left being a Sith behind, where I became a Night Sister. I was too old and experienced to call the Sleeper, so my initiation was somewhat different.
What happened?
She looked up at him, and there was a hint of peace along with pain on her features.
I was reborn. I went into the waters a Sith and emerged a Night Sister.
By using magics?
Some, but mostly by choosing to leave it behind and being willing to accept the love of my sisters.
Voss touched her cheek gently.
You never cease to amaze me.
Well,
she said, attempting lightness.
This time you get to amaze me.
He squared his shoulders. Right. So the sooner this is over with, the sooner we get to go after the Count. And once that's done...
He kissed her forehead lightly, then stepped back. He held out his lightsaber to her, and she took it. The Night Sisters had no weapons when they faced the Sleeper. Neither would Voss. This was a battle of the mind.
Take care of this for, the next few minutes, because I'm going to want it back.
Don't worry. It'll be waiting for you, I promise.
He nodded, then turned and stepped toward the edge of the pool.
Quinlan,
she called. He turned to look at her.
Don't rush this. Make sure you're ready when you call it.
Voss nodded. He had not asked Ventress if she would aid him if he got in trouble, and she had not volunteered. He wasn't sure he wanted to know the answer, and he had no plans to find out. He began with adjusting his breathing, slow, deep, and rhythmic. Voss felt oxygen saturating his blood and being pumped through his heart, gaining the control that Ventress had assured him was vital to his victory over this mysterious and apparently horrifying Sleeper. He opened to the darkness, felt it almost physically curling around him. Voss inserted the aquata breather into his mouth and reached out with his mind. There were many life forms in this water, from tiny single-celled organisms to moderately sized fish and crustaceans. They were simple, uncomplicated, and he brushed their consciousnesses gently and continued searching. Down his mind went, into the depths of the blue, murk waters. Some things hid in caverns, some swam freely. But Voss sensed one life form that was more complex than the rest. More complex and very old. Ancient. It dreamed. Voss understood as he brushed it with the Force that it had been dreaming for some time, undisturbed. He wanted to send it calmness and peace and let it rest, but he could not. Voss steeled himself, and still, willing his body to remain calm, allowed his mind to gradually open to the Sleeper. He felt it stir unhappily, resisting him with surprising strength even in this state.
Awaken.
It would not. Voss lifted a hand and spread his fingers, calling out to the unseen beast.
Awaken!
He demanded, and the Sleeper's consciousness snapped into full presence. It was not sullen or sluggish, but alert and focused, and that focus was on Voss. Voss grunted slightly with the effort, knowing that he could not lose the upper hand even for a moment. He harnessed his concern and twisted it into anger and resentment.
"Rise! I will have it so!"
And it did. He felt this impossibly old creature stir from its cavern, where it had rested and dreamed dreams unimaginable, and slowly, balefully move upward. A bubble rose to the surface of the thick blue water, popping with a sludgy, wet noise. A second bubble followed, then another. Two huge lavender eyes, each the size of Voss's head, emerged from the water. They swiveled on narrow stalks, seeming to look in every direction at once, then locked onto Voss, standing at the edge of the pool. A wave of resentment that was so powerful it was almost physical buffeted Voss. He didn't hesitate. He harnessed the hatred and hurled it right back at the sleeper, who shuddered.
"I said rise, all the way. Obey me and come on to the land."
For a terrible instant, Voss was certain he had failed. The sleeper did not move. Then, slowly, fighting his command all the way, it did. It reared up and up, 7 meters long if it was a centimeter, revealing a long, carapace-covered body, quivering antennae, and 4 appendages. The first pair appeared to be sickles as long as it was, tapering to spear-like points. The other limbs were narrow where they attached to its body, expanding into large clubs at the end. This set of legs, the sleeper kept tightly curled. Voss noted all this in a heartbeat, but what astounded him most was how beautiful it was. Its limbs and eyes must have seemed ghastly to a child who had never ventured beyond her own world. But Voss had seen more frightening things. No. It was the kaleidoscope of colors that made the sleeper so visibly remarkable. Every hue Voss could dream, or have nightmares of, adorned it. He had known other species to have eyes similar to the sleeper's, which could see 5 or 10 more colors than he could. But the sleeper's eyes were even more complex, and Voss briefly wondered if this creature was so difficult to subdue because it might be able to actually see the Force. It was an effort to keep his attention focused, but Voss managed. His anger hot, but his body calm, Voss stepped backward, not knowing how much room the thing would take up once it had clambered onto land. Just as it reached the place where he had stood a moment ago, its sickle legs shot out with astonishing speed, impaled themselves into the surface so hard the stone cracked, and heaved its bulk onto land. Voss had assumed the creature was a sort of crustacean, but once it was wholly out of the water, he realized that its lower appendages were not legs, but tentacles, long and shiny, and every shade of blue that the eponymous protocol droid from Sheb's black market shop had known, and probably more. So astonished was he that for just a moment, Voss felt his control waver. The sleeper felt it too, and gathered itself for an attack. Immediately, Voss lifted both his hands and force-shoved it so it slid along the rocky surface, smashing into braziers and pottery. Hatred, cold and pure, wrapped around Voss, and he met it.
"You will obey!"
It fought him for a moment, its massive body rocking back and forth, tentacles and legs flailing.
"Stop!"
The cold hatred brightened with a sharp sensation of pain. Voss's will was hurting the beast. He strengthened his power in the Force, cruel and harsh, and the creature subsided. It tucked its limbs in close to its body, and its tentacles ceased wriggling. Voss took a deep breath, but didn't lessen his intense control. He'd done it, and he hadn't even needed the aquata breather. He pulled it out so he could speak.
"Ventress,
he called out, not taking his eyes from the enormous, almost pixelated ones of the sleeper.
I don't need to make it cut off a limb, do I?
No.
Her voice was strangely heavy with regret.
Voss, listen to me, but don't let your attention waver.
He felt a flicker of unease. The creature's tentacles undulated, sensing it, waiting to exploit any crack in his will.
Okay, I'm listening.
You have to kill it.
Voss's shock lasted only a fraction of a second, but it was enough. With a blast of triumphant loathing, one of the sleeper's tentacles whipped around Voss. Together they tumbled beneath the pool's surface. Voss's face struck the water hard, and his aquatic breather flew from his hand. The tentacle's pressure against his chest compressed his ribs, forcing him to expel air in a rush of bubbles that meant life. His empty lungs clamored for breath, and his internal organs felt like they were being slowly squeezed to pulp. One arm was trapped, immobilized at his side. He could barely see in the milky blue depths, and panic made his heart race. Through sheer will, Voss slowed its beating as he had practiced. Abruptly, he was hauled through the water again to come to a stop less than a meter away from the sleeper's face. Two flat teardrop-shaped scales beneath its eyes turned from sickly green to a pulsing, angry red. Voss realized that the change signaled an imminent attack. Without thinking, only trusting completely in the force, he shoved his free hand toward the second set of club-like legs with enough power that the trajectory of the blow was altered. The strike was faster than he could see. Suddenly, the water around Voss was boiling from the intensity of the shockwave, clouding the blue water with black liquid and ragged chunks of the sleeper's own tentacles. The spots that had been red before now were the color of an angry bruise. It had struck itself, not Voss, with pulverizing force. An ear-splitting rumble of pain assaulted Voss's ears. He fought to keep from wasting his rapidly dwindling supply of air in his own agonized cry as the bubbling, boiling water scalded his flesh. Taking advantage of the sleeper's distraction, Voss used the force to propel himself upward, gasping for air as his head broke the surface and he struck out for the safety of land. Pain shot through him. The sleeper had struck him a glancing blow with one of its razor-sharp sickles, and he could feel it growing maddened from the sudden flow of his blood in the water. He sensed another tentacle reaching for him and whirled, force-grabbing the appendage and squeezing it tight. Again, the sleeper rumbled in pain, its focus on him broken. Voss used the seconds of respite to clamber onto the stone, then turned and seized the creature in the force. He closed his eyes and directed a command with every bit of strength he had, and the sleeper grew still. It was no longer angry or bloodthirsty or filled with hatred. The sleeper was terrified. Voss drew in great, ragged gulps of air, his body straining with tension. He heard Ventress's voice shouting at him,
"What are you waiting for? Kill it, Voss!"
And yet even now, after the battle, he hesitated. The sleeper had no evil in it. It was a simple creature, innocent of knowing wrong from right. It only wanted to be left undisturbed, and when threatened, it had protected itself. What would this unnecessary killing prove?
"Ventress!" he called, still controlling the sleeper. "It may be the last of its kind!"
"Yes, and if it dies, a great secret of my clan dies with it. That doesn't matter! We both have to make a sacrifice. You have to do this!"
"It's obeyed me twice. Why do I need to kill it?"
"Because you were sent to kill Dooku, in cold blood if you have to. If you can't use the dark side to kill now, can you do so later, when it truly matters? Or will you let your Jedi compassion destroy everything?"
Tears stung his eyes. Tears, as she had just accused, of compassion. Voss desperately wanted to send the sleeper back to its peaceful burrow, to let it rest and heal from its wounds. Ventress would be disappointed and angry, but he would find another way to convince her that they could kill Dooku without him going to the dark side. It gave him power, true, but at what cost? But in his heart, he understood the distinction Ventress had made. The Jedi had fought Dooku before, and the possibility had always existed that the Count could be slain in such a struggle. What Voss had been ordered to do wasn't just killing. It was assassination. It was murder. And now, Ventress wished him to snuff out the life of a simple beast that didn't have to die. The moment stretched, taut, each passing second draining Voss further. He could delay no longer. He made his choice. He focused on his earlier fear, the helplessness he had felt, and his anger at it. He narrowed his eyes, calling up the hatred and rage, feeling them burst into him, white hot and so very powerful. This was an enemy. This was Count Dooku. Voss extended his hand, slowly, deliberately, taking the time to truly experience the emotions as they translated from thought to action. Die! The sleeper's head snapped back. Puzzlement flowed through it. Then cold, primal, simple fear. So pure, so strong, so liberating. Voss lifted the sleeper from the water, continuing to manifest his emotions into a force energy while simultaneously suffocating it. It suffered as it died. Voss cleared his mind of everything but this moment. As it writhed in agony, its powerful punches and spear-like limbs striking only air. With a final spasm, the great beast crumbled. Voss released it. It splashed into the water, sinking for a moment, then floated partially submerged. Voss stared at it. His body was tingling. His heart raced, but not with fear, with exaltation. So engrossed was he in the sensation of unleashing such power that he didn't hear Ventress approach until her voice said, right beside him, "Quinlan." He whirled, his hand raised for an instant, before his mind cleared, and he let his arm fall. Alarmed at his reaction and reeling from what he'd just done, Ventress appeared to understand, looking at him with pride and not a little awe.
"Quinlan," she went on, laying a hand on his arm, "I know that was difficult for you, but it was necessary. You've come so far in such a short time. I'm impressed."
Words crowded his mouth, but he spoke none of them. Not about the sharp delight he had taken in brutally asphyxiating an innocent creature. Not about the desire to do it again, and to harness that power and unleash it any way he chose. He couldn't speak either of the wrenching sadness that permeated him as he realized that something in him had broken, or the delight at having been freed of its shackles. He didn't need to. He could sense Ventress, proud and pleased, her desire for him only the stronger for the ordeal through which she had put him. She knew what he was feeling. So Voss said just,
"The Jedi have always taught that the dark side is a quick and easy path.
You must be cautious how far down that quick and easy path you go,"
she warned.
"Now that you have tapped into it, it can consume you. It is a delicate balance to strike, being free enough to feed from it, but remaining your own master."
"Like you did."
"I fought my way back. I almost didn't make it."
Her eyes grew sad, and she slipped into his arms.
"I regret that this is a path you must tread, but it must be done if we are to defeat Dooku."
Voss stroked her short, pale blonde hair. The recollection of his actions unnerved him, and her words were sobering. He stepped back, his hands on her shoulders, and looked her in the eye.
Dooku is strong. But we will be stronger.
He caressed her cheek.
Together.
Her face softened into a smile that had nothing of the darkness about it. An expression that Voss knew few had ever been permitted to glimpse.
Together,
she agreed, and kissed him.
Chapter 18.
Voss was late, again. Kenobi settled in to wait at the bar on level 1313. One of these days, he mused, Voss would show up on time. Kenobi wondered if his heart could bear the shock. The minutes ticked by. Still no Voss. When 2 hours had crawled past, and Kenobi had been forced to consume more alcohol than he had really desired, and what passed for a meal to go along with it, he finally gave up. He activated his comlink.
Master Obi-Wan, to hear from you, surprised I am.
Master Yoda, I am troubled by something, and I wish to speak privately with you.
To the temple return, and speak we shall.
When Kenobi entered Yoda's quarters, he found the Jedi Master sitting in meditation next to a small fountain designed with crystals known as singing stones. They emitted soft sounds, something between a chime and a stringed instrument, as water flowed over them. Kenobi usually found the resulting music deeply soothing, as was the scent of special oils heated over small flames. But today, even their influence did not dispel his sense of worry. Yoda did not open his eyes.
Welcome you are, Obi-Wan. Across from me, please sit.
Kenobi obeyed, and managed to calm his thoughts at least somewhat. A few moments later, Yoda spoke again.
Clouds your heart, this concern does. Speak of it, you will.
Obi-Wan bit his lip.
Master Voss did not show up for our appointed meeting. I fear that something has happened.
Sense something in the Force, do you? A vision you have had?
Obi-Wan shook his head.
No. But there was something off about him the last time we met. He was guarded. I could sense it. Although he behaved like his usual self. And he used words that...
He paused, searching.
At the time, I simply thought that the challenge of the mission was starting to wear on him.
But in retrospect,
Master Yoda, he may have placed too much trust in Ventress. She may have discovered who he really is.
Yoda's ears curled in slight surprise.
Gone on many undercover missions, Quinlan Voss has. Carefree he is, but careless he is not. Possible it is that attached he has grown. Always a risk there is.
Voss? He never has before.
When one trusts another with his life, forged a bond is. In this position, neither Voss nor Ventress has been.
He did say they were working well as a team. And I have always known that Ventress lets us see just what she wishes us to. She's a complex individual. I can only imagine what it must be like to be in such constant contact with her as Voss has been.
And now, contact him you cannot.
Kenobi nodded.
I probably should have come to you the moment I had concerns, or else just voice them to Voss. But it seems so ludicrous to be worried about word choices and a vague sense of unease. Voss isn't a Padawan. He's a master. He didn't deserve to have suspicion fall on him for such trivial things.
More to say you have, but not on this subject.
Kenobi frowned, then nodded.
Yes. I had misgivings from the beginning about this entire enterprise.
I still believe that sending a Jedi to assassinate a man was wrong. And I fear that I will likely lose not only a fellow Jedi Master, but someone I consider a friend. And we will have nothing to show for such a loss.
Yoda rose, picked up his cane, and went to his friend.
Gently, he laid a small hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder.
disagree with you, I do not. But now, in motion things are, and stopped they cannot be. All must proceed as the Force wills it. Sometimes it is a dark path we must tread, so that long more for the light we shall.
Kenobi placed his own hand over Yoda's. He did not ask if it was Voss or the Jedi Order that was treading the dark path, because in his heart, he didn't want to know the answer. "May the Force be with him," was all he said.
"Here we go."
Ventress hit the controls, and the Banshee dropped out of hyperspace.
"Keep your eye on the comm channels."
"On it," Voss replied. "I hope some Din's clearance code is accurate, or this could get very interesting very quickly."
"It will be. Some Din is thorough. Transmitting now."
Ventress angled the vessel to merge smoothly with a moderately heavy flow of space traffic heading toward Raxus. Up ahead was the checkpoint, a blockade of massive vessels. Voss kept his eyes on the comm channel as they passed close by one of the enormous ships.
"We're cleared," he said. "One potential disaster averted. All we need to do now is get into the event, find Dooku, and kill him. Piece of cake."
He rose from his seat behind her and leaned against her chair.
"One more thing to do before all of that,"
Ventress said.
"We need to make a quick stop in Tamwith Bay."
"Tamwith Bay? I thought Dooku's party was being held in Raxalon."
"It is. We have to purchase clothing first,"
Ventress said.
"Tamwith Bay is still a major city, but it's quite a distance from Raxalon. There will be less security."
"I wouldn't have pegged you for the shopping type."
She leaned out of her chair to give him a withering look.
"Were you planning on just walking into a 20,000 credit a plate gala event looking like this?"
Voss whistled.
"That much? Hope we have time for dinner. Just don't ask for my opinion on footwear."
"Don't worry. You have the fashion sense of a Wookiee."
Voss glanced down at the well-worn leather outfit he'd worn since forever. Whenever he wasn't in his Jedi robes, this was what he reached for. It offered decent protection. He could move freely in it, and it didn't draw undue attention.
In his usual circles, at least. "But black goes with everything."
Ventress snorted.
"Leave it to me."
She took them to an establishment that catered to the sort of people who would be attending the ludicrously priced gala. In short order, Voss was fitted with black trousers, comfortable leather boots, and a white tunic with bold golden stripes.
"The contrast with your skin coloring is most striking,"
the tailor assured Voss, finally letting him see himself in the mirror. His dark skin seemed to glow against the hues of the tunic. Its crisp, tailored line and the knife-sharp creases of the trousers accentuated his long legs, broad shoulders, and narrow waist.
"Huh,"
he said.
"Not bad."
"Agreed," said Ventress.
She eyed him in a manner that made his heart skip a beat, and he grinned at her.
"Well, if my lady likes it, I'll take it."
To Ventress, he said,
"What about you?"
She held up a bag.
"I already found something while you were getting the trousers fitted. Let's go."
"Let me see."
"We don't have time for dolly dress-up,"
she retorted, and Voss knew better than to argue. The flight from Tamwith Bay to Raxalon was quick. Voss didn't even have time to get his new outfit dirty. As the sun set over the beautiful capital city of Raxus, casting warm rose and lilac hues on the tall spires, Ventress vectored them into dock, not at the main port, but at a smaller, lesser-used one. It was efficient enough. The droids that rolled up to begin refueling and cleaning the Banshee looked like fairly new models, and the place was clean. It was, however, obviously a local landing pad, not one meant for the rich, famous, and powerful. And Ventress and Voss were the only ones currently making use of it. Voss stepped outside and took a careful look around, just to make sure. A few moments later,
he heard the clack-clack of heels. He turned around.
So, let's see this...
He fell into a stunned silence. Voss thought he had seen Asajj Ventress in all her guises. He'd seen the efficient warrior, the cold rager, the temptress practicing both the wink and the nod, and the full-on gambit. And most beautiful and most amazing of all, he'd seen her by starlight. Just her, lying in his arms. But this was something else again. She wore a two-piece, sleeveless bodice of rich, ebony-hued fabric, with hints of a subtle swirling pattern of dark purple embroidery. Lacing of the same deep purple cinched it closed. The top section enclosed her breasts and revealed a small patch of her taut stomach. The bottom section flared over her hips. A midnight black skirt, slit in front and back, fell to the floor. She had just finished concealing her lightsaber in a band around one slender but powerful thigh. As she straightened, their eyes met. The outfit was elegant and subtle, and the woman in it was vibrant and strong. The overall effect made Voss like a falcon poised in that exquisite instant between free fall and flight. And for a moment, he couldn't breathe. He gulped air and said,
You look...
Emotions flitted across Ventress's face. Annoyance, pleasure, and something he'd never thought to see there. Embarrassment.
Go ahead, spit it out,
she muttered.
You look... like a goddess of love and war and hope and ecstasy. Like a glimmering star that I've somehow been blessed to hold. Like the rest of my life.
Nice. He wanted to kick himself. Ventress rolled her eyes.
No wonder you Jedi are so frustrated, she said. As I said earlier, this unfortunate outfit is necessary for our mission.
Voss tried and failed to wipe the grin off his face as she descended the ramp. He pulled her into his arms and murmured against her long, slender neck.
I'm liking this mission more and more.
Before Ventress could deliver a no-doubt scathing retort, she turned her head sharply. Voss followed her gaze, but he saw nothing.
You expecting someone?
Some din.
At the sound of her name, the Gossam stepped out of the shadows. Ventress went to meet her, kneeling in front of the much shorter Saurian. Some din looked at Voss for a moment, then Ventress.
Why is Akjito alive?
She inquired. Ventress nodded.
Yes, everything has gone smoothly so far. Where are the passes?
Some din held up two small engraved cards.
I'm sure it wasn't easy,
Ventress agreed. She smiled.
You've done well. Thank you. Your loyalty will not be forgotten.
She leaned forward and placed her left hand on Sumdin's shoulder, squeezing gently. A sudden blur, a familiar snap hiss, and Sumdin crumpled without a sound. There was a smoking hole in her torso. Ventress's face was calm as she extinguished her lightsaber and rose. The murder had happened so fast that Voss had barely had time to register it, let alone stop it.
What are you doing? He cried. She helped us!
Ventress's voice was cold.
Remember what I taught you, Voss. No compassion. No loose ends. She doesn't matter. All that matters is what we came here to do. There must be nothing, absolutely nothing, to stand in our way now. We've come too far.
Still reeling, Voss looked down at the tiny, crumpled form. Sumdin had been, no doubt, a professional informant, selling her knowledge to the highest bidder.
But she had also been a person.
She didn't deserve to be summarily executed when she had done everything she had promised. But had the Moran refugees deserved to be blown to bits in space? Did any of Dooku's unwilling subjects deserve slow, painful deaths of starvation or random murder at the whim of someone they had displeased? What if some Din had been playing both sides? Anguished, Voss closed his eyes for a moment. It tore him up inside, but Ventress was right. They needed to ruthlessly eliminate anything that might prevent them from carrying out their mission. Dooku must die. He hoped that some Din's would be the final death that could be laid at the evil Count's feet. Wordlessly, he picked up the body, thinking that some Din weighed no more than little Vram had. And that thought made him angry. He held on to that anger as they headed to the gala, letting it fuel him for what lay ahead.
Chapter 19.
I'm afraid I must check your weapons,
the beefy human guard said as they handed him their passes. Ventress eyed him up and down and smiled.
Where would I possibly conceal a weapon in this dress?
She said, hands indicating her garment. The guard chuckled.
Where could you possibly be concealing a weapon in that dress? Go ahead, little lady.
She winked and stepped forward. Voss planted a similar suggestion, and he too was admitted.
Dooku needs better security, he muttered to Ventress as he slipped her arm through his.
His arrogance will not permit the concept of a Force user coming after him here,
she replied. Voss glanced at the well-dressed crowd milling about and making idle conversation in the square. He had never had any difficulty adapting to his environment. He could make himself at home in a barren wasteland, in a den of crime bosses, in a seedy bar, in front of the Jedi Council. This gathering, however, set him on edge. He was still rattled from Ventress's efficient murder of her contact, though not as rattled as he once would have been. And within the hour, he knew, he and Ventress would either have slain Count Dooku, eliminating his threat forever, or else be dead themselves. Or maybe it was just his clothing. He restrained himself from tugging at the high collar of his tunic and decided he'd tell himself the unease he felt was that and nothing more. Ventress, however, moved as if she had never known anything other than the high heels and elegant flowing dress. She had even put on perfume to complete the performance. It made his nose twitch, but he had to admit she not only looked and moved as if she belonged, now she even smelled like it. Voss found it difficult to take his eyes off her, but he forced himself to do so. They had a job to do. They strolled arm in arm through the throng of obviously well-to-do guests gathered in the plaza square. The crowd was tight, but not claustrophobic. Combat droids were doing a superlative job of managing the multitudes. And besides, Voss guessed, the guests didn't want to muss their hair. Or feathers, or tentacles. The wave of beings flowed slowly and in an orderly fashion toward a building at the far end of the square. Voss wasn't sure what the place was, but it had that official government building stolidity to it that seemed to be the rule everywhere he'd ever been. It sported a walkway and a balcony, and all faces were either turned upward toward it or else gazing expectantly at a large dais in the square's paved center. A thought occurred to him.
You know, he said, you didn't tell me. What kind of celebration is this, anyway?
Ventress rolled her eyes. Pitching her voice low, she leaned in and murmured,
The Confederacy of Independent Systems is honoring Count Dooku with the Raxian Humanitarian Award.
Voss snorted in amused disbelief, quickly turning it into a cough at her glare. The crowd had been chattering in anticipation, but now a murmur rippled through the square. Several battle droids had just emerged onto the balcony, taking up sentry positions. Voss felt his pulse quicken. He took a breath to calm himself and slow its racing. Focus was the only way to properly control the Force. Either side of it.
Showtime,
Ventress said, and Count Dooku clad in full military regalia, stepped onto the balcony. The crowd went wild, applauding and cheering, hooting and making all manner of other sounds of excitement. Dooku, looking every bit the benevolent patrician leader, waved and smiled warmly. Down in the square, symbolically among the people, his 3-meter-high hologram did the same thing. Voss thought about Master Tholme, how Ventress had told him he'd died, sliced into 2 pieces by Dooku's crimson lightsaber. Once, Voss would have banished the hot rush of emotion. But now he embraced it, let it flow through him, settling in his center like a coiled snake ready to strike. Dooku was not alone. General Grievous, the cyborg commander of the Count's vast droid army, stood a few steps behind his lord. With his 4 arms, skull-like mask, and clawed feet, Grievous was like something one would expect to see in spice-induced nightmares rather than in reality. He was more machine than living creature, but there was a terrible malice in the slitted eyes that peered through the white mask.
"Looks like Dooku brought his sidekick," Voss murmured.
Still smiling, Dooku raised his hands in a gesture for silence, then began to speak.
"It is an honor to stand here before you, for you represent the freedom and the future of our galaxy. The once great Republic and Jedi Order have become victims of their own ambitions, and the Supreme Chancellor is no more than a pawn of corporate monopolies."
Voss folded his arms, listening. Ventress appeared to be doing the same, but out of the corner of his eye, Voss observed her unobtrusively watching the crowd.
"As a people, you called out for change. You called out for leadership. And I humbly answered that call,"
Dooku continued. His voice, as always, was sonorous and strong.
"Together we challenged the system. We asked for equality. And how were we met? With war. The Jedi secret army of clones was revealed, and their treachery was far greater than we could have imagined."
Angry muttering, shaking fists, and low booing rippled through the crowd. Dooku looked to be filled with righteous fury as he continued.
"Countless living beings, these clones the Jedi created, have been sent to their deaths, while we sacrifice mainly droids."
Voss grimaced slightly and said to Ventress,
"He makes a good point."
She gave him a sidelong look that conveyed exactly how unimpressed she was.
"Our soldiers are flesh and blood, are willing participants. They are your fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, who fight not because they were grown and designed to do so, but because they know in their hearts that they are fighting for a just and noble cause."
More cheering. Voss glanced around at the faces, alight with excitement and adoration. It was unnerving to realize how beloved Count Dooku, monster and murderer, was among these people. Ventress's gaze was not focused on Dooku, and though she did a good job of keeping her expression composed, Voss knew her well enough to see through the act to the loathing that simmered just beneath the surface. She squeezed his arm and inclined her head to the colonnades to their right. They began threading their way through the square while Dooku finished his speech.
"It is not a simple thing to be your leader during this unfortunate war, but I shall receive this humanitarian honor and take it as a sign that my leadership has met with your approval."
Like trained pets responding to a command word, the crowd erupted in applause. Beaming, Dooku spread his arms in an avuncular fashion, enveloping everyone in the gesture.
"Let the celebration begin."
The crowd applauded for a long while, then began to drift toward another set of wide-open doors at the far end of the colonnade.
"Grievous being here complicates things,"
Ventress said without preamble.
"Think you can handle him?"
Voss nodded.
"Shouldn't be a problem. I just have to detain him to make sure we get to face Dooku alone.
According to the invitation, there will be some drinking and socializing, and then the banquet will be starting. I'll head inside and pay the Count a visit. He'll most likely contact Grievous then. Make sure you're in position.
Voss gave her his cockiest grin.
Hey, he said, feigning a front. Have I ever let you down?
His words, meant to lighten the mood, somehow had the opposite effect. She looked at him for a moment, touched his cheek lightly, then turned and fell in step with the rest of the banquet attendees. Confused, he gazed after her for a moment, then headed off to find Grievous. Head high, walking at a casual pace, Ventress entered the vast dining room. It was enormous, almost cavernous. Statues posed in the corners. The busts of famous politicians stared blankly at the guests. The walls were a deep, warm red, hung with paintings of vibrant starscapes, portraits, and still-life works of art. In the center of the room, beneath 10 ornate chandeliers, several tables were arranged. Some guests were already seated, while others milled about. Droids bearing trays of appetizers and beverages maneuvered deftly through the press of beings. Ventress's despised gown was the perfect costume. Any attention she attracted was from those who had eyes only for her physical appeal. She smoothed its folds, and her mind went back to Voss's reaction earlier. Ventress was accustomed to scrutiny from men. She made use of it when it suited her goals. It was, as she had told Voss, simply one more tool. But the look in his eyes was one she had never seen before. It had made her feel vulnerable. Not merely desired, but truly seen, known, cherished. Voss had shown her that he was prepared to leave his old life behind when this was all over. Was it possible she could do the same? What was it he had said once? Do you ever take your mind off the job? The answer had always been no. It was her identity, her way of interacting with the world. Ventress used her tools, lies, lightsaber, the full-on gambit, the force, to become whatever was needed for whatever task was at hand. A killer, a seductress, a deceiver. Who would she be without a lightsaber or a false face? Would there be anything left of Asajj Ventress if she were to truly let go of hatred and instead accept what had shown in Voss's eyes? That she was loved for simply being? Something surged through her, and she did not know if it was longing or terror. A server droid with metallic bobbed hair and a short red dress extended a tray of cocktails. Ventress snapped out of her reverie, cursing herself for her wandering thoughts, snared a beverage, and sipped at it as she scanned the room. As she had expected, Dooku was in the center. People milled about him, but they were not acting like an eager throng surrounding a holofilm star. No. These beings affected a casualness that bordered on indifference. Ventress had observed this behavior of the rich and powerful from the shadows. Now she strode into their midst. A burst of loathing swelled in her chest as she made an indirect path toward the Count. It was all she could do not to whip out her lightsaber and attack then and there. But he had trained her. And her past defeats had proved that she alone could not bring him down. She thought of Karis and Nahleth, and their first attempt to slay Dooku. Mother Talzin had assured Ventress that the two women were the finest warriors of the Night Sisters, and they had proven excellent. But even numbering three, and even with dark magics that obscured them to Dooku's vision, they had failed. A second time, Ventress, with Mother Talzin's aid, had tried to kill the Count. This time, Ventress took the Night Brothers Abrak named Savage Opress and trained him in a brutal manner, forcing the dark side upon him with Mother Talzin's rituals and torturing him when he disappointed her in training.
He was her thing, her creation. But when the time had come, Opress had turned against both Ventress and Dooku. With Voss, it was different. He was with her willingly, as Karras and Nalith had been. And like Opress, he had tasted the dark side and trained for the task. But he was his own man. He had been strong enough to pass all the tests she had given him. With that training, and with her lie about who had really killed Master Tholm, fueling his hatred, together they were strong enough to defeat Count Dooku. His words just now had saddened her, and of course he had not understood why. Indeed, he had never let her down. She had let him down, with her lies. But once this was finally over with, she drew closer. Dooku's back was to her, and he was chatting away, his smooth voice hateful to her ears. Suddenly, he stiffened. He looked about the room in a seemingly casual manner, but Ventress knew him, knew every one of his movements, and she realized he'd sensed her. Good. She took the final step and whispered in his ear, "Hello, Master."
Chapter 20. The Count was silent for a moment. Ventress found herself utterly calm as they faced each other, looking to all the various dignitaries and power players as if nothing in the universe were amiss. Dooku sighed.
"It was an unfortunate decision to return, my dear. I will make sure to tie off this loose end this time."
The same words she had said to Voss were close enough. Ventress wondered if she had picked up the phrase from her old teacher. She made a tisk-tisk sound.
"My, my. That's not very humanitarian of you, is it? Besides, you won't kill me here. Not so publicly."
She knew she was right, and that the words would only irritate him further. His mellifluous voice was sharp as he snapped,
"What is it that you want?"
"I'm done chasing you. I want a fair fight, nothing more. Tonight, meet me on the Overlook. Let's end it, one way or another."
"End it, I most certainly..." "Ah, Governor, thank you for attending."
"Oh, it is such an honor!"
enthused the Aqualish, shaking Dooku's hand vigorously. He was dressed in a crisp uniform, weighed down by medals and epaulets, and his arachnid-like tusks were white and polished.
"The honor is all mine,"
Dooku replied politely, then turned to greet the governor's wife. Overcome with shyness, she ducked her bald head and averted her enormous black eyes. Ventress took the opportunity to melt back into the crowd. A conveniently large Fallen, who reminded Ventress strongly of the guards she'd fought at the Black Sun Fortress, proved a good shield from Dooku's sight. She watched her former master closely as he finally extricated himself from his admirers long enough to remove a comlink and speak into it. Ventress didn't bother to hide her smile of victory as she glided out of the room.
"General?"
The voice belonged to Count Dooku. From his perch on an overhang, Voss muttered a triumphant, "Yes!" Grievous's unique, raspy voice replied,
"Yes, my lord."
It hadn't been difficult for Voss to determine where the center security hub was, and it had been even easier for him to eliminate the droid guards at either end of the hall.
"The betrayer Ventress is here. Meet me on the Overlook."
"Yes, master,"
Grievous replied instantly, and a second later,
"Let's move."
The clones sometimes called enemy droids clankers, and Voss thought it a particularly apt term as Grievous and three battle droids clanked out of the security room. Voss somersaulted down, drawing his lightsaber as he landed on his feet. He slashed at the door controls, sending sparks flying as he sealed the door shut. A blaster bolt whizzed past him. He sensed it coming and dodged, whirling to parry the next round of fire.
He let the momentum carry him forward, slicing off the head of a battle droid. It issued a squeaking cry of surprise, firing harmlessly upward, then toppled to the floor. Voss maneuvered so that Grievous was between him and the remaining two droids, who looked at each other, trying to decide if they could get off a clear shot without harming their commander. While they hesitated, Voss shot out his hand, fingers splayed hard. Even as Grievous reached for the two lightsabers at his waist, they flew into Voss's grip.
"You won't be needing these," Voss said pleasantly.
Grievous, who had a deplorable lack of a sense of humor, bellowed and charged, as Voss had anticipated. Almost leisurely, Voss stepped to the side and sliced upward with his lightsaber, severing the general's left hand at the wrist. The mechanical limb dropped to the floor, comlink still clutched in its metal fingers.
"Sorry,"
Voss said, picking up the comlink and waggling it at the infuriated Grievous.
"Need this, too. Can't have you contacting the Count now, can we?"
Like an insect rearing up, Grievous spread all four arms wide, then charged. Voss met him halfway. The two clashed in midair. Grievous was the heavier, and his momentum carried them back toward the wall. Laughing sadistically, Grievous closed both right hands around Voss's throat. He threw Voss hard, intending to slam him down into the unyielding stone of the walkway. Grievous's mistake was in letting Voss out of his grasp, and Voss landed in an easy crouch. Springing up, he turned.
"I'd stay and kill you," he told the cyborg, "but I'm short on time today."
Realizing they had a clear shot, the battle droids opened fire with renewed enthusiasm. Voss batted away the screaming red bolts, giving Grievous a cheery wave as he slammed his hand into the controls of the last door. He slipped through just as it closed, and then ensured it would remain so by frying the controls on the opposite side. He paused to enjoy the pleasant sound of Grievous bellowing and banging on the walls, and lingered long enough to hear one of the battle droids obviously trying to open the door say,
"Uh-oh."
The entire fight had lasted less than 60 seconds. Mission 1 accomplished. Now for Dooku. Ventress leaned on the overlooked stone railing, where earlier Dooku had given his effusively hypocritical acceptance speech. Night had fallen, but the sky was far from dark. Lavish fireworks cast illuminations of every hue imaginable, their booms echoing. As the Count had sensed her earlier, so Ventress sensed him now as he approached. A cold darkness, not inviting as the night was, but sinister and ugly. Not for the first time, Ventress wondered how it was that she had all but worshipped this man. She continued to stare upward at the bursting fireworks, the night air stirring the long skirt of her dress and her pale short hair.
"Care for a drink?"
Surprised, she turned and saw that Dooku held two glasses. He extended one to her.
"Alderaanian wine. An excellent vintage, and rather hard to come by these days."
Ventress didn't even dignify the offer with a response. Rare vintage or not, the Sleemo had probably poisoned it. And even if he hadn't, she would die before sharing a drink with him. She turned away again, and he shrugged, sipping from the glass he had offered her and placing the second one on the railing.
"Such a pity, you and I,"
he mused, looking up at the fireworks as he swirled the wine absently in one hand.
"We had the entire galaxy before us, but it was just not meant to be, my failed apprentice."
Ventress was done with condescending banter. She was more than ready to fight with her lightsaber, not her sharp tongue.
"You destroyed my life,"
she snarled.
"My people!"
A little half-smile parted his beard.
"Even now you display why you failed time and again. It was foolish for you to have come alone. I would never have made such a grave error."
He clicked his comlink, smirking as he said,
"General?"
Silence. Yes. The readiness was tightly wound within Ventress, about to burst free into the most fiercely joyous fight of her life.
"General,
A worried note had crept into Dooku's voice. Ventress smiled slowly, savoring it. Behind them came the unmistakable sound of a lightsaber humming to life. Dooku whirled. Turning toward him, Ventress saw with a satisfaction as deep as space that the color had drained from his face.
"Looks like I learned something after all," she drawled.
"A Jedi?"
Oh, this moment was truly to be relished. Ventress didn't think she'd ever seen Dooku so nonplussed. Then even more incredulously,
"Voss?"
Voss gave a laconic shrug.
"I'm a little surprised about it myself, Count."
Dooku looked from him to Ventress, and then, strangely it seemed to her, affected a look of utter unconcern.
"You will never take me alive."
And then he actually sipped his wine. Voss was still smiling. It wasn't a pleasant smile, but Ventress's heart soared to see it. She took a step away from the railing and brushed back her skirt with one hand, reaching for her lightsaber, while Dooku's attention was on her partner.
"We aren't planning to," Voss said, and he charged.
Dooku, still trying to comprehend the situation, was taken aback, but only for an instant. He found time to carefully set down his glass of Alderaanian wine while drawing his lightsaber. Ventress swung, but the Count ducked. He leapt between the two of them, kicking out at Voss while blocking Ventress's strike with his crimson lightsaber, almost dancing between his two enemies so that they had to guard against injuring each other as they sought to slay him. Ventress cursed under her breath, executing a backflip while kicking off the ridiculous high heels. With the connection they had forged, Voss immediately picked up on her tactic, moving for a better position from which to press the attack. As he did so, Dooku struck him. It was only a glancing blow across Voss's left side, but he jerked, and in the blue light of the exploding fireworks, Ventress saw his face contort first with pain, then harden into hatred. "Pain," she mused, "makes us strong." And she knew much of pain. Snarling, Ventress charged at Dooku, reveling in the strength of her muscles as she dealt strike after strike. Her old master parried expertly, but she forced him back. He dodged to one side, just as Ventress realized she had overextended. Dooku's left hand clamped down on her right wrist, and he brought up his own lightsaber. It was Ventress's turn to seize his arm and hold the scarlet blade at bay. For an instant, the two, their faces only centimeters apart, stared into each other's eyes in a mockery of lovers. Then Dooku heaved her up and sent her sprawling. Unable to catch herself in time, Ventress landed heavily with a grunt. Enraged, Voss charged Dooku from behind. The Sith Lord whirled, catching Voss's strike with his own weapon and twisting his wrist to parry. Voss countered with a feint that caused Dooku's chest to be unguarded and dived for the kill. Dooku twisted out of the lightsaber's path, but for the first time since the fight began, Ventress saw awkwardness.
"You fight well for a Jedi, Voss,"
Dooku said.
"I had a good teacher," Voss retorted.
He jerked his chin in Ventress's direction as she got to her feet and began to circle Dooku. Even as he spoke the words, Ventress realized what a mistake it was.
"Ventress?"
Dooku's brows rose as he eyed her.
"I see."
She adjusted her grip on her lightsaber. "Voss," she warned, shouting over the explosions in the sky.
"Focus! Remember what I told you!"
Ventress didn't dare be more specific. The less Dooku knew, the better. Voss's brown eyes narrowed, and with an incoherent cry, he charged. But the dynamic had shifted. Ventress could feel it. Dooku no longer appeared the least bit unsettled. He looked like a man who had drawn a winning card in a sabacc game. Ventress felt a chill that had nothing to do with the crisp night air or the light gown she wore. He stood tall, imposing, and as Voss raced toward him, Dooku didn't flinch. He lowered his sword and extended his hand. Voss rose in the air, and then Dooku shoved, sending the Jedi slamming into one of the pillars. The Count turned, almost nonchalantly, performing the same maneuver with Ventress. The wind was knocked out of her, and she couldn't breathe. Stubbornly, using her hate the way she had told Voss to do, she summoned energy to push herself up to a kneeling position, still clutching her lightsaber.
Dooku's lip curled in a manner that might have been a smile or a snarl.
Abruptly, Ventress found herself dangling in the air as he whirled her around behind him and then threw her down like a spoiled child discarding a disliked toy. The pain was excruciating, but Ventress remained conscious long enough to see that Dooku wasn't yet done. She could only watch helplessly as she slid head first into the unyielding stone of a meticulously carved bench. The world went white, and she knew nothing more.
Chapter 21.
Asajj!
Grief and fear flooded Voss. He wanted to rush to her, help her. That would do nothing other than give Dooku a chance to kill him. In the space of half a heartbeat, Voss recalled Ventress's lesson with the sleeper. It had been crushing his ribs, and primal fear had surged through him. He'd used that fear then, turned it to hatred, and slain the sleeper with it. Now Voss again harnessed and directed his own terror at the thought of Ventress's possible death. His mind cleared, to be filled with one cold purpose. Kill Dooku.
Dooku smiled, as if pleased.
So,
he mused.
She has given you a taste of the dark side, and perhaps other things as well, I gather. Tell me, Voss, how many Jedi vows have you broken to destroy me?
Voss twitched as if stung.